Welcome back, everyone, to Flip Flops and People Ops. This is the show brought to you by Workleap that helps you turn your company into a great place to work by talking about all the tactics and the ways and the psychology behind how to turn your company into a great place to work. And we do that by driving engagement. We drive engagement by delivering a better employee experience. You've heard me say on the show a lot, but it's always worth repeating. Employee experience and employee satisfaction and employee engagement are all different. So really quick, just to make sure you know what we're talking about here, employee experience is all the little mini moments that unfold in an employee's entire time of working at your company, from the moment they find your job description, how was it written, how did interviews go, onboarding all the way through what are daily interactions like on the team and how does the manager make people feel, because that stuff's important. That's all the little stuff that adds up to be your measurement of are people engaged or not. Employee engagement is always in flux, and it's unique to teams and different people. Engagement is the output of your employee experience. It's the measure of how deeply emotionally connected and committed the employees are to going above and beyond for your company because they want to work at your company. Employee satisfaction is how happy an employee is with their job. It's the things that we often work on thinking it's what drives engagement. It's the gym reimbursement, the book club and the celebrating cat day. That stuff's fun, but it's a nice to have. So I like to say a lot to help people remember experience-driven engagement. It's like satisfaction is not what moves the engagement needle a lot, which is why when you put all this effort into a social hour where people can have a drink over Zoom and catch up with each other, but they're still not engaged, it's because, yeah, that was like fun. That was like doing a kickflip on a skateboard. Employees are like, huh, look at that. That's cool. Anyway, employee experience is like building the skate park and the ramps to actually have a place for everyone to have their experience unfold in an environment that's conducive to what they all care about. Engagement in this skateboarding metaphor is like, do people even show up to the park? Do they show up and just sit there and stare at you like, this is stupid? Because sometimes you haven't even built your skate park. The employee experience is just unfolding and you haven't realized that you'll add a lot more value to these employees if you fix what it's like to be onboarded, if you properly train your managers to lead excellent one-on-ones and focus on relationship building, less than like the goals. Have you hit your goals? Go, go, go. Someone asked me recently, like, are you cheating? Are you using ChatGPT? I know you love AI, Christy. Do these metaphors come from AI? I'm like, no. These metaphors come to me as I'm saying them, and they are just like a download from the universe. Like, tell them this. This will resonate. My higher self is always one step ahead of the show. So today I want to talk about hiring and a common mistake I see a lot that is very easily fixable and could be a huge driver of engagement on many levels. It's when you hire someone for a team, but the employees on that team didn't get to be part of the interview process. And what I'm about to say holds true whether you're hiring the leader for that department, say maybe you're selling a tech product and the support team needs a leader because either you're growing or the leader left and you need to hire another leader for that team, or you need to hire another employee, someone left, or the team is growing and you just need another support rep. Employees do not like being surprised with a Slack message that's like, we offered someone or we hired someone. They start in 2 weeks. So to your employees, this is what it feels like. It's like there's a need to buy a home, okay? And there's budget to buy a home. There's a need to hire someone and there's budget to hire someone. Everybody knows this and everybody is anticipating the team gaining a new team member soon. So they're excited or they're just like feeling the energy of like the team's going to be changing. So like if you're going to buy a house, you're like, okay, I'm going to be living somewhere new soon. There's change on the horizon for your employees. Now, when you just hire someone, although you did it quick and it was very labor intensive for you and probably a few others who interviewed this person, you're basically telling employees, I bought you a house. You move in 2 weeks. And they're kind of like, what? You didn't ask them what kind of house they wanted. You didn't let them go look with you. You didn't let them offer feedback on which house to pick. That's not a fun experience, especially if they get there and they're like, this is a two-story house and I wanted a ranch on a farm. What? Now, you can't let employees completely pick the candidate in that like it's whatever they say. But if you don't make them part of the process, you're creating a situation for even this new person coming in is kind of like working in a deficit because these employees are kind of like, who are you? I have no idea who you are. And that person's going to have a hard time feeling welcome on a team that's trying to fake it, that they're like trusting that this was a good decision because they weren't part of it. So here's what this should look like. Whether you're hiring a leader for a team or a new employee to the team, this still stands. You can do this in a survey, or you could train the manager to be an extension of you, which is a much more efficient way to drive engagement. Tell them to come back to you with feedback from the team if you're just hiring for a regular employee. What are the gaps on the team? We could have lots of different types of support agents in that first example I was giving you, but are we hoping for someone with a more systems mindset because we need to drive automation and innovation in that way on the team? Do we need someone who's a strong writer as like an added skill because we need to update help documentation and we need someone who's a quick and effective copywriter as well as understanding support and being on that team and supporting the product? Are we hoping for someone who's more creative because we need to add videos to the support documentation? So maybe someone who's comfortable in front of the camera, who has a mix of a marketing background. It's important to ask employees and the leader, if you're hiring a regular employee, like what gaps do you have on the team? Is there an added skill set that would benefit the team other than just a support person? And if you're hiring for a leader, ask your employees that are waiting for their new leader that they're kind of hoping is their saving grace. Teams that operate without a leader, I guarantee, are not engaged, and there's only so long they can hold on. And making a wrong hire is very expensive. Just in general, turnover is expensive, but it's going to drive that team even further into a disengagement hole. So ask them, what kind of a leader are you hoping for? Because they'll tell you, I want someone who's super empathetic. Okay, you go look for someone who's like got a management background who says things in their interview like the people are the most important part of the team and like psychological safety. Like you ask those kinds of questions, like how important is it to you to have a team that's very productive or a team that they work really well together because of your leadership? Like how do you think through output versus how the team's doing? You'll find the right leader. The team might say something like, we need someone with a systems background because no one on our team knows how to automate any of this. We need a leader to come in and kind of shift the strategy and bring us into the new era. I need a leader to help us with working with this other department. We need help working with the product team because we have all this feedback, but the product leader doesn't listen to us. So then you go look for someone in their interviews who says that they have experience working with a product team, or they can tell a story about how they had built that bridge at another company, or someone who just says they're very collaborative with other leaders in finding ways to break down barriers and silos. And you can use ChatGPT to basically take these problem statements that employees are hoping you hire for and say, ChatGPT, what are some open-ended questions that would test someone for these abilities and skills? So I guess this episode is actually the two mistakes that I often see with hiring. So the first is just not asking the team, what is the ideal person for us to be looking for? Because they're getting to tell you and feel part of like, this is what I need. That's meeting your employees' basic needs. This is an engagement-driving thing that you're doing. By asking them, what are you hoping to have happen here? To choose their own destiny, help shape the type of person that you're looking for to hire. Finding the team's hopes, dreams, and like known gaps on the team to inform what kind of questions you're asking so that you're not just hiring off a job description and you're like, yep, you meet the skill criteria, you're hired. There's been no thought put into your demeanor, if the team vibes with you, if, you know, this, that, the other. Which is basically only doing like a 20% quality check. A lot of the rest of this is the person's personality, their skills, their strengths, their weaknesses, and how that fits into the team. You can't really tell how that's going to unfold just by yourself interviewing. You're also not on that team. But the main thing I see people get wrong, which is what this episode is actually about, is just not letting employees be in panel interviews to meet this person. You need to expose employees to the candidates and allow them to give you feedback on what about the candidates they like or questions they have about their experience and how they'll fit into the team. This was done at Pingboard really well. It does pause everyone's productivity for a week or two between having a kickoff about the candidates available, splitting the groups up into interviewing for soft skills and hard skills, which we'll talk about in a second, and then having retros after interviews where the recruiter and the hiring manager can hear why they have concerns or why they think this is a great fit. That may seem like it takes a lot of time. That's a lot of meetings. That's like, oh, we'll just hire someone for you. But it's penny wise, pound foolish. You're much more likely to get buy-in from employees. Even if you hire a candidate that one of the people was a little on the fence about, that person still got to voice their feedback. They're not surprised when this person shows up. That person has met them. That person has met the whole team. The team is not like, oh my God, who's Stacy? They're like, hey, Stacy, welcome to the team. It's easier for everyone to jump in that way. You don't have to put the team's feedback in the job description. It's just the other side of the strategy here. You've got the literal skills that someone needs, which is your job description, and the team and what they're hoping to see in personality, demeanor, skills on the side, and just what the team is hoping to have slotted in. Then the recruiter finds a couple candidates, has a couple phone screens. The hiring manager and the recruiter are working really close here to bring the team like the top three candidates. Then you have another meeting where the recruiter is there, the hiring manager's there, and the whole team that's going to be involved in the decision-making process. If you've got a team of like 40 people, just handpick a couple people that would be working really closely with this person. And maybe one person on the outside that's fringe, just to bring an added perspective. It was four employees on a hiring panel, and it was two people on soft skills and two people on hard skills. I have a cheat sheet that I'll put in the show notes that's basically like, we were given these list of open-ended questions. You need to help employees know what to ask. Otherwise, they're not recruiters. They'll awkwardly go into interviews and be like, so you worked at this tech company. Tell us about it. You already did that in the phone screen. You'll drive engagement for the candidate when the team is better prepared. The team will feel more engaged because you prepared them to look smart in front of this person who might be their coworker, and they don't just run in different directions making up questions. You've got those two people looking for soft skills. How does this person come across? What are their other attributes that would make them successful in this job other than their literal skills? Your hard skills group is drilling in on specifically what is on their resume that they say that they're great at. I've got, 6 years of background in support. And then they ask questions more like, how did you communicate across departments when you had feedback? Did you have a product leader who took feedback from you? You seem to have a little bit of an expertise in copywriting. Can you tell us more about what do you think of our support documentation? Other hard skills are like maintaining the SLA, the service level agreement. That's like how quickly you get through support tickets. And they can say things like, we have a high ticket volume and we move really fast. We'll get about 100 tickets a day. There's five of us. We divide it these ways. What's the highest volume of tickets that you're used to doing at your different roles that you've had? Is this new to you? Other questions for hard skills are like, how have you been measured against metrics in the past? What kind of service level agreements have you had on different teams? So that team's kind of like the literal job that you do. They're trying to make sure that this person, because they'll be working really closely with them, and sometimes they'll be able to call BS a little bit better than you, the recruiter, and even the hiring manager, who's really just trying to be like, are you going to be a good fit for this team? So after those panel interviews are held, where you prepared everyone with their open-ended questions, you have a retro and you have everyone say like, these are the strengths I saw. These are the weaknesses, may not be the best word, but like, these are the concerns I had. And that way the recruiter can go back and not say, if there's like another interview, just to close things out, getting closer to an offer, the recruiter can say, can you walk me through the amount, the ticket volume you had? And like, tell me if you would be comfortable with this level of ticketing. And even the hiring manager can say, this person's not experienced enough. I didn't know. They looked great on paper, but we need someone who can jump in, who's got experience with this, whatever. I saw this happen so well at Pingboard so many times, and you'd be surprised. Candidates who looked great on paper and in their resume, and they crushed their phone screen, and the hiring manager was excited. There were times where the team would drill in and say, not every time, but sometimes they would say, I didn't get a good vibe from this person, or this person took a really long time to answer some of the questions, which made me think they're not as experienced as we thought. We use HubSpot for, and what it sounds like they've used HubSpot before, I actually don't think they've used HubSpot. And I'm not saying everyone lies on their resume. I'm just saying like people are trying to explain themselves as best they can. And you don't know always as good as the team to be like, I don't think that's a good fit. Or an employee might say, they talked really negatively about that last job and they seem to like just have this vibe that's really heavy. And I don't think that would be good for our team right now. I got this like, oh man, we're already kind of in the trenches of day to day trying to get this person hired, like adding in someone who's a little bit negative, that may not be good for the team. And so everyone would vote. And it was like a one was a yes, a two was a hard yes, which is like, heck yeah, hire this person immediately. A negative one was a soft no, which is like, I have concerns, but you know, if the team sees this as a great candidate, like I could be okay with this. And then a negative two was a hard no, which was like, I have a legitimate concern here, whether it's hard skills or soft skills, that's like, this would be a mistake. And we had this rule, I swear to you, if there was a single hard no on a candidate who seemed incredible to everyone else or decent, we did not hire that person. And we told employees, like, this is not to be abused because it's a lot of work to find candidates. But if you truly feel like this person that you would be working really closely with, something is not right and you are not comfortable, we trust you. I want to say it only happened 2 or 3 times out of so many panel interviews that I was on where I saw a hard no was like, we are not going to hire this person. But that drove engagement to the employees because it was like, oh my gosh, you listen to me. You trust me that I'm not just being careless and like making your life hard. I really didn't feel like that was a good choice. And you might have saved the company a lot of time and money by hiring for the wrong culture fit or hiring for the wrong skills, which would have made that employee, had they been hired, very disengaged. Do you see how all of this is related? This is basically like, as a team, you're going shopping for a house and everyone's needs are being heard. And no, you can't have a 2-story and a 1-story house. Let's talk about the benefits and the pros and cons of each and come to an agreement as a team, at least start discussing what everyone's needs are and we meet in the middle. Do we need a swing set in the backyard? Do we need a pool? Yeah, that's nice to have, but like if everything else is being met, or yeah, sure, let's get a pool. Do we need a basketball hoop? Do we need 4 bedrooms, 5? Do we need wood floors? Does it have a new roof? Like, that's figuring out exactly kind of what everyone wants and getting everyone to give their shopping list. And then by the time you buy the house, everyone's like, I remember this house. This wasn't my first pick, but this one has a really cool pool. Yeah, let's move in. Instead of like, here's a house with a pool. And you're like, it's just worth it to make employees part of the process. And especially if you're hiring for a leader, oh my gosh, please don't hire a leader without your team getting to meet these candidates. I can remember being on a great hiring panel a couple companies ago. I was much younger in my career, like 26 years old. There was one candidate where I remember we all said, hey, we're kind of needing more emotional safety on this team. And that person came across very cold. That person didn't have a lot to say about how they think through team dynamics. They mostly wanted to talk about systems and like process and metrics. And I know that's important, but like, I don't feel like that person is someone that would give me what this team needs, like emotionally. And they listened. And they actually ended up hiring us a great leader that was a perfect fit and a blend of like process and people. And then when we get that leader, we're kind of like, yes, you're here. Oh, great. Like, you don't want to slot in a new employee cold to a team that's cold to who this person even is. That's going to drive disengagement for everyone and make you much more likely to pick someone solely based off a job description and what their references have to say without ever letting the team opt in. So disengagement for the team, disengagement for the candidate. Much higher likeliness that disengagement's going to happen all around. I know this sounds hard and like a lot of work, but this is what drives engagement. And this is why I say, like, you need to have a properly staffed department. If you have a bunch of open roles, you're going to need a full-time recruiter to really hear and have the time to take these meetings while hiring several people. That is a full-time job to make sure everyone is having their kickoffs, their debriefs after the meeting, and you're able to score candidates properly. I'm not saying you have to use the system I said earlier. I'm just saying that's what worked. And that's an example of how I know many companies figure out if a candidate is a good fit. It will save you time in the long run having to backfill because you hired not the right person. It sounds hard. It's a lot of extra work, but isn't lying awake at night wondering why your company's disengaged and what the heck you're going to do about it? That's hard too. That's hard work just in your mental load. That's why I say driving engagement is hard, but not impossible. But these are the employee experience moments that will help you move the engagement needle. Do you see how that's more helpful for you to hear than, hey, celebrate Cat Day, Hat Day, and National Taco Day? That's not what your employees want. Although you may entertain them for a second, what they want is for you to bring them into the process and help them to have picked a team member that is a great fit for the team so that the team can do better, more productive, collaborative, happy, engaged work. But it's a lot of work. So when you're hiring, make employees on that team part of the process. Do not blindly introduce a new team member to a team that has no idea who they are. And the candidate and the new hire is like, I have no idea who these people are. Interviewing is a great trust-building early engagement driver to this new candidate who could become a new employee. And one more tip, when you offer someone, have the team reach out. Be like, hey guys, we offered Stacy. Here's a link to her LinkedIn and here's her email. It would be awesome if you dropped her a line just to tell her that you're excited. Tell her something that really stuck out to you in the interview and that you can't wait to work with her. Do you know what it feels like as someone who just signed a lot of their precious resource of their time away and like their 401k, their benefits, they're trying to make sure this company is the right decision for them. you will drive engagement early when the team is like, hey, I really enjoyed your interview, or like, this stuck out to me in your interview and I think it's going to be a great quality for the team. I just heard you signed. So excited to work with you. You're kind of subconsciously telling that employee, like, you're being good to them early. The new hire is like, oh my gosh, they're being so good to me early. You don't have to be perfect to drive engagement. All employees are looking for is effort, okay? Rethink your hiring strategy to integrate employees into it. Yes, it will take people away from their work, but in the long run, it will save your company time and money to have hired the right people to teams that are opening their arms to them, willingly accepting them into their good graces because they chose them. Any of your employees vehemently disagree with someone, listen to them. They probably saw something. They probably have a concern, and they're the one that has to work with them. Trust your employees to tell you things like this, and you will drive engagement even if that recruiting process takes a little bit longer to be like, okay, back to the drawing board. That was our top candidate. The other two dropped out. We're going to get some more candidates. That is still the right decision, and we'll get the right person on the team to stay for longer in the long run. It was worth it to start from scratch on certain roles sometimes. It's okay. Do not panic hire someone because you need to get a butt in a seat. It is not worth it. It's very risky. So full circle, when I say experience-driven engagement, this is a part of your employee experience that you can think through in a different way to include more people, to get more buy-in, hire for the right candidate so that the team gets the right person and the person gets welcomed with open arms to this team. You're much more likely to drive engagement, okay? If you don't follow me on LinkedIn, I'll put a link in the show notes, but that's the best spot to see the bleeding edge stuff of what it's going to take to drive engagement. I try to make it very easy to understand. I've got a mix of long content. I've got a mix of short content that's like, boom. But you need to fill your feed with people who are talking about where you want to get to so that you're exposed to new ideas all the time. So go out and follow, like Google HR thought leaders and just follow all of them. You don't have to agree with everything all of us say, but the more you fill your feed with like people talking about the why and the how we're going to get there, less than like so-and-so celebrating their 7th work anniversary. I'm so happy to announce, thrilled to say I'm joining this company. Like LinkedIn, you probably have a lot of connections on there and friends and people you've worked with. And like that stuff's important to celebrate too. But really, let's turn your LinkedIn feed into a place where you go for education and you're being exposed to new and different ideas every day. That's the main benefit of using it. You could always send me a message on LinkedIn too. That's how I sometimes pick these episode ideas. Ask me a question, let me know what's going on at your company, and I would be happy to help you think through it, and it may even become an episode. Thanks for listening. You're not crazy. Driving engagement is really tricky, nuanced business rooted in psychology and the way the work gets done. It's a lot for you, but you can do it, and I see you. You're not crazy. Driving engagement is hard, but it's not impossible.